Editorial note. Despite my misgivings about the style, or more accurately, lack of it, I feel it would be helpful to insert the only eyewitness account of the mobilization of the 597th I've been able to locate at this point. Readers with a refined appreciation for the Gothic language may prefer to skip this section. For those of you who wish to persevere, my apologies. Extracted from Like a Phoenix from the Flames, The Founding of the 597th, by General Jennet Sula, retired, 097.M42.
Imagine, if you can, the awful sense of futility which hung over us in those darkest of days. As the city we were here to protect burned around us, the flames of our impatience blazed no less furiously in our breasts. For here we were, sworn warriors of the blessed Emperor, enjoined, we knew not why, to step back from the fray, which every woman and man of us yearned to enter. Yet we stayed our hand, grim duty no less inflexible for being unwelcome, for had we not sworn to obey? And obey we did, despite the anguish we all felt at our enforced inaction, until at last the Lord General gave the order to mobilize. I think I can truly speak for all when I say that at the news that our regiment, newly born, all but untried, was to take the lead in this magnificent endeavour, our hearts swelled within us, borne aloft on the wings of pride, and a determination to show that the Lord General's confidence had not been bestowed upon us in vain. As I led my platoon to our chimeras, I could see the whole regiment lined up and battle-ready for the first time, and a sight to stir the blood, it truly was. Dozens of engines rumbled, and our sentinels formed up alongside us. I noticed that Captain Shambas was smiling broadly as he checked the heavy flamer mounted on his doughty steed, and I paused to exchange a few words with him.
"I love the smell of promethium in the morning," he said,
and I nodded, understanding the urge he felt to unleash the cleansing fire of retribution against the Emperor's enemies. As I mounted my command chimera and took my accustomed place in the top turret, I kept turning my head, hoping for a glimpse of the legendary Commissar Kane, the man whose courage and martial zeal was an inspiration to us all, and whose dedication and selflessness had turned us from an ill-disciplined rabble into a crack-fighting unit that even the Lord General deemed worthy of notice. But he was nowhere to be seen, no doubt even then bestowing the benefit of his wisdom on those entrusted with ensuring our final victory. Indeed, as the Emperor willed it, I wasn't to set eyes on him until that final climactic confrontation which lives on in the annals of honour to this day. At length, Colonel Castine took to her own chimera and gave the eagerly awaited order to advance. A stirring sight we must have been as we moved out to the cheers and envious glances of less fortunate regiments. Beyond the perimeter, however, I must admit that my spirits were somewhat dampened by the devastation which met our eyes. Hollow-eyed civilians gazed at us from the ruins of their homes, and curses and lumps of masonry were frequently thrown in our direction. Fruitless to protest that this wilderness of desolation was none of our doing, for they had every right to expect protection from the Tower invaders, and we had left them bereft. Everywhere wreckage burned, and the bodies were scattered in profusion, many in the uniform of the PDF, some modified with strips of blue cloth, to proclaim their allegiance to the alien despoilers. Naught had it benefited them, though, and they had reaped the just reward of all turncoats. But whether at the hands of their more loyal fellows or the interlopers they had sought to appease, His Divine Majesty alone knew. Of the Tau themselves we saw little sign, save on occasion a rounded tank hull hovering ominously at the end of a street, or a swiftly darting dreadnought keeping pace with us for a block or two. For the most part, however, they seemed content to watch us through the eyes of their aerial pictcasters, which floated like flying plates above the rooftops, or flitted around our vehicles like flies around groks. Had it not been for our orders, I'm certain that many would have been downed by our sharpshooters. But however intolerable they found this provocation, not one of our stout-hearted cohort broke faith by opening fire. It was only when we approached the precincts of the governor's palace that the resistance we'd expected truly began. And it was a kind we were ill prepared to face, and had no reason to expect.